It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk soft and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Well, I certainly know the hockey show has started because it feels like an ice rink in here. Jesus. I'm going to have to sit on my hands because they're that cold and I have bad circulation. Like an old grump.
I think it's comfortable, Jim. I like it. I'm enjoying this.
You run hot, Gasper. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's a big Jim, Chris Gasper. We have Tim McCone alongside as well. I watched this documentary last night, Buzz, on HBO.
Yeah, what's it about?
It's about Buzz Bissinger. You know who he is, right?
Yes, I do know who he is.
Best known for writing Friday Night Lights. The wife and I watched this, although she tapped out about 40 minutes in because she found him detestable and just she wasn't into it. But for those that don't know, I mean, Friday Night Lights, we all know that. Like, you either watched it or you read the damn thing. Buzz Bissinger was a button-down brown blazer sports guy who, for most of his life and career, is someone you'd probably associate with the likes of stuffy guys like Mitch Albom, Dick Schaap, like the guys you used to see in the sports reporters, old ESPN show. Sure. You got to see this movie because Buzz Bissinger, in case you don't know, and I knew this because I read some article about him years ago, and this is why I wanted to watch the thing. He's become this leather daddy S&M freak, which, cool, like, no judgment here, honestly. You can never, one of my core beliefs is that you can never underestimate the freakiness of the person next to you. Sure. One guy's, I like my back clawed could be, hey, spit in my face. Like, McCone, I don't know what kind of freaky crap you're into. I'm not going to ask. Same for you, Chris. But whatever you're into.
With McCone, I'm sure it's pretty freaky.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off the air.
Yeah, whatever you're into, go nuts. No judgment, really. But I can't help thinking about two things because I found this movie fascinating. I'm thinking about this because, like, I said to Jasmine, I was like, this, because she's like, I don't get it. Like, what's the big deal with this? I'm like, no, you don't understand how, like, buttoned down this guy is. This is as if, like, Maz was like this. So, like, it got me thinking. I'm like, so who's like this that I work with? Like, just the math alone.
Yeah, sure.
Who's like, the Buzz Bissinger that I work with that, like, is into, like, S&M and bondage and, you know, going with a dominatrix and probably getting slapped around? Like, I couldn't help thinking about that.
That's
definitely
not my thing, I'll tell you that right now.
No, me either. But again, whatever you're into, fine. Because, like, he's real into it. It's fascinating. And then, too, it shows him go into, like a leather shop in New York. And they show this one item that you could purchase. How can I get around this with FCC? There's one thing you can do. It is a long metal rod that you would put in a place that, even just thinking about, like, the smallest possible hole you could think of, you would put, and it's about the size of a ruler. And he quickly explained, like, oh, yeah, no, that's part of, like, what, you know, this community's into. And it literally gave me nightmares. it's way too long. It's very indulgent in terms of, like, he's such a narcissist. I mean, obviously, you know, you have a documentary about you, he had to approve it, but it is fascinating. And if you did read that book and you know what type of guy he was, because again, we're talking one of these brown blazer suit and tie type, you know, lodge sports reporters,
buttoned up journalists, like you said. Yeah.
And, And now he looks like a dude that would go to, like, Man Ray, the old club. Like, it's just, it's wild to me, the juxtaposition. So, I don't know, I can't stop thinking about it. And that long metal rod that you would put in a place so unfathomable I get it. Some people get pleasure from the pain, but that's a kind of pain I would never, ever want to have to know.
It kind of sounds like the Red Sox next season. That metal rod.
It's funny you mentioned.
That's what the next general manager's going to be.
In Rod We Trust. I feel like this was, I just had to get that off my chest. I feel like this was, Chris, a dumber week than usual in sports, both locally and nationally. Everywhere I look, nonstop stupidity. You just heard more of it in McCone's headlines with Antonio Brown. But, like, going back to Monday night, that football game, play calling by the Cleveland Browns, their continued rapid decline of Baker Mayfield, the most overhyped team in football, Brady acting all sore-ass about losing Antonio Brown. Again, Brown incessantly tweeting again and again, like the impulsive moron he is. The play calling by the Packers in the Thursday night loss to the Eagles, Kyrie Irving's ridiculous press conference in Brooklyn yesterday, Alex Cora and the Red Sox beat bootlickers all up in their feelings over the Rangers allowing a drop pop-up that allowed Mike Minor to get 200 strikeouts. The hidden press conference by the gutless Red Sox ownership yesterday. And that we're trying to hype the Buffalo Bills. Like, this is, this one might be bugging me the most.
The most egregious of all?
Yeah, because it's not even just here. Like, nationally, like, there's buzz for this Bills team because they're 3-0. And, okay, like, it is seemingly a more interesting game than the first few that we've watched. I mean, going into to week one, I thought Pittsburgh would be better than they are, but they're still winless. But this is certainly a better matchup than the last couple of weeks against the Jets and the Dolphins, because I do think that the Bills' defense is for real. But I don't know, collectively, like, this whole week, it's just been a masterclass in dumb. But do you think we're going to get a game tomorrow?
I think relative to what the first three games have been, you'll get a game. But, I mean, do I think the Bills are going to beat them? No. Do I think it will be really in doubt in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter? No, I don't. So I think, you know, relatively speaking, I still think it's a double-digit win for the Patriots.
You do?
Yeah, I do. And it might look worse in the end than it really was throughout the game for the Bills, because Josh Allen will throw some ridiculous pick six, or he'll fumble and it will lead to another touchdown.
Well, this is what the Monday night...
Suddenly, instead of winning by 10, you're winning by 17.
This is what the Monday night game there was last year, because it was a Devin McCourty pick six that made it look like a game that it really kind of wasn't.
Yeah, that was a tractor pull. I was at that game. I covered that one, and that was a tractor pull of a game. The Patriots could move the ball, but they couldn't get in the end zone. They scuffled in the red zone. The Bills hung in that game despite having Derek Anderson at quarterback. You know, but at the end of the day, the final score of that one, correct me if I'm wrong, was 25-6.
Yeah, yeah.
So it goes in the books as a 19-point win. I mean, you wouldn't look at it. And that's sort of what I'm expecting tomorrow, something like that, where you're looking up and the Patriots won by 17 points or 19 points or 20 points, but the game was a little more challenging than that. It was a little more arduous than that to get the W.
Yeah, I do think the Bills' defense matches up with the Patriots' offense. If you look at some of the numbers, I mean, that Sean McDermott, the Bills' head coach, he has, I think, done a really good job overall against Tom Brady and the offense. And just since he's been head coach of the Bills, Brady's numbers, 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Compared to Brady versus the other Bills' coaches, 66 touchdowns to 20 interceptions. It's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, there's been some problems there for that offense. And I think that combined with obviously the issues that they've had with the offensive line, which continues to be a shell game of guys off the street, Brady's pouting and being upset that he didn't have Antonio Brown.
Do you really think it's pouting? I know this came up on Felger and Maz. It was pity party, pouting.
And you know me, I'm one of the card-carrying Brady Bobos, but I found what he did this week, and we'll play some of the audio with his interview with Jim Gray. It was just a little like, all right, get over it. And then we have Tom Curran's piece that he had on NBC Sports. It's just like, and he will. He'll get over it. He's pouted before, but he's definitely, I don't know, at least earlier in the week, he feels like a little burned that Antonio Brown's not here anymore.
Well, yeah, I think he feels burned, but because he put some investment into it, and it's like,
the guy was here 2 weeks.
Okay, but wouldn't you feel burned if, and this is a terrible analogy, but I'm just going to go with it, you know, somebody put like a chocolate cake in front of you, and you're like, great, I'm going to get to eat this cake. And then you got like half a slice and somebody threw the whole thing out. Wouldn't you be kind of like, damn, I was really looking forward to that chocolate cake. I feel like that's where he is. It's not like, you know, what you're saying, what Felger Maz were saying, like, you took that chocolate cake away from me, I'm going to go on a hunger strike and kill myself. Like, that's not what it is. You're just like, man, I was really looking forward to that. And I'm kind of ticked that chocolate cake I thought I was going to get to eat, I'm not going to get to eat like the rest of it. I think there's a difference there.
I would be satisfied with the slice. I wouldn't need the whole cake because I'm not a greedy pig.
I am, so I need that whole thing.
I've seen you. I've had dinner with you. You're going to finish that?
Literally. Like, yeah, and by the way, I'm saying that, and it's not even like off my spouse's plate. It's off Jim's spouse's plate. I'm just saying to Jim's spouse, are you going to finish that? Because, yeah, I will definitely eat that. I will say, this should be a good show, people. Buckle up. Should be good because we're going to have Jim Gray sound, so that's one impression from Jim. And I'm looking up at this TV, and I happen to, there's a particular Batman movie that seems to be on with a particular villain.
Of course, it's this one, too. Oh, yeah, so just because it's on TV, I'm going to dance for you. I probably will. So I was trying to, like, I'm trying to talk myself into this, and I do think it is going to be a bit of a tractor pull, like you say, especially in the first half. But the one real detriment to the Buffalo Bills is that quarterback. Josh Allen stinks. He's had a couple of flashes here and there, but I don't know. In week one, the Jets ended up, well, doing Jets things, and they probably should have won that game. They're up 16-0, and Allen flashed a little bit late. But what do you have, like four turnovers, I think, in that game? Like, I just, never mind my own eyeball test. On Josh Allen, who I think plays too much hero ball. Like, his best attribute sometimes is his big arm and that he can make plays with his feet. And sometimes he'll break a big play. But that same thing is also his worst attribute because he throws horrific interceptions. And you saw one last week against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, my God. That was criminal. It's quarterback malpractice. You can't even forget it being an interception. You can't even throw the ball in that situation.
Yeah.
To Darius Phillips, that was really bad.
So, and I saw a stat from Boston Sports Info on Twitter. If you're not following this guy, it's Boston Sports Inf. He apparently ran out of room, didn't have room for the O, at Boston Sports Inf. But it really cemented to me why the Bills lose tomorrow. And it's because of Josh Allen. As a starter against teams that didn't make the playoffs, his numbers are just 8-3, over 2,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, QB rating of 75.7, which is not bad, not bad. But against teams that actually made the playoffs, and again, he's only been a starter for just a very short time, but Josh Allen is a starter against teams that have made the playoffs. 0-3, 48 of 91, 546 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 picks, good for a quarterback rating of 60.5. Yuck. He stinks. He stinks against good competition.
Yeah.
And you're getting
Is that all last year? Because I'm thinking Jets, Giants, Bengals, none of those teams made the playoffs. Actually.
Correct. Yeah, so that's all last year. But still, have you been impressed by what you saw this year? Do you think any kind of jump from Josh Allen?
I'm not saying this guy's going to be a bust because it's still early. But I think there is sort of this premature rush to anoint him. And I think he's not there. And I think there was a general consensus in the NFL when he was drafted last year that although he had the most raw talent of those guys in a lot of ways, you know, you're talking about Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, that quarterback crop. He also was the most raw in terms of being able to read defenses and process what's happening in front of him. And I think that sort of says something. Like, he was really raw at Wyoming. You know, he would make some mistakes that were very sort of rudimentary mistakes for a quarterback. And I still think that, for me, the biggest thing, Belichick always says this, the two biggest things for a quarterback are accuracy and decision-making. And I think those are two things he struggles with. I don't think he's accurate on a consistent basis. And I think his decision-making is poor.
All right, we'll get to Brady on Antonio Brown, among other stupid things, between now and 2 o'clock. You want to join us at any point, give us a call at 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
When he came to your team, it was reported and described in a conversation that you had with Robert Kraft that you were 100% in. Now he's been released. What are your thoughts on him coming and going so quickly?
Well, that was, a private conversation that I wish, had remained private.
As for Tom Brady, he wanted Antonio Brown to play football for the Patriots. He understood the team was in a situation where they were wafer-thin at wide receiver, and that adding one of the best players in the National Football League at that position was going to make his life drastically better and increase the chaances the team was going to win a crap load of games and perhaps a seventh world title. That's all changed now. And when Antonio Brown went out the door, Tom Brady, who wanted Antonio Brown here, who really doesn't ask for much, I've been told, who basically goes along and takes what's given to him, he wasn't that psyched. Again, I don't know if he registered an opinion as to whether or not Antonio Brown had only himself to blame, but he was happier when Antonio Brown was here.
He just seemed a little pouty. That's not the word. He's obviously not happy that Antonio Brown is no longer here. Gasper Murray, 98.5, a sports hub. So that was Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback, with Jim Gray. Hey, Tom. Earlier in the week on his Westwood One Monday Night Football interview that he does each and every week, followed by Tom Carr and NBC Sports Boston, who had a pretty informed column on NBCSports.com. NBCSportsBoston.com, about the inner workings of this thing, and that this was more Patriots owner Robert Kraft's call to get rid of Antonio Brown.
And I can back that up just sort of with what I know. I mean, yeah, I think this was a situation where those text messages came out. Ownership reviewed the text messages. I think they had a pretty good idea of what they wanted to do early in the day on Friday. And obviously, Bill ended up practicing Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was part of the game plan, and they ended up releasing him later in the day. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together. There was a faction there that was not for releasing Antonio Brown, and it was Bill Belichick's faction. So in the end, it was unanimous, but really, like, you know, what choice did Bill have?
Yeah, and I just, like, I don't understand how people are still trying to say that they did the wrong thing. I get that there's still a section of Patriots fans that just look at the talent alone, say they should have never got rid of him. But they weren't going to be able to weather this storm. And the guy obviously can't help himself. As McCone said in the top of the hour in the Hub headlines, he's already back at it tweeting again. He can't help himself. And just what was it a couple of days ago? Hey, I'm going to re-enroll at my alma mater. I'm going to go back to school. Back to school. Back to school. And now what? He's going to come back and he's still looking for a job in the NFL. So, of course, that was... He's too erratic. He's too nuts. He should have never been signed in the first place. And on Brady's on the Brady side of things, like, as much as I'll always love and support him, and I'm Tom over team at this point, learn to work with the new guys, will you? Like, I get it. You're 42. No one wants to help bring up the new guy. I certainly wouldn't want to have to show an intern or anything like that the ropes if I had to every single day. I'll tell you a little bit what I know, but every single day work with you? Ah. But you know what? Be a professional. And just, you know, because it benefits the greater good. You want to win into the Super Bowl, right? You want that seventh title. You've already solidified yourself as the greatest ever, but continue to separate yourself from the other greats. Work with the new guys. Work with Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry when he comes back. I'm a little annoyed by it.
Yeah, I can see that. I just think for Brady, he looks at it, and maybe it's a bigger picture situation where it's not just about Antonio Brown. It's about sort of why is there this situation every year where I have to do more at this position. Like, I have to help you at wide receiver. You know, we're always sort of dealing with this uncertainty and not enough options and not enough depth. And just go through the whole thing of like what's happened throughout his career. You know, David Givens and Deion Branch leaving, and you know, Wes Welker's allowed to go. And so when you look at sort of just Danny Amendola, on and on it goes. And it's always like, well, Tom will figure it out. Tom will figure it out. Tom will figure it out. And maybe at 42, he's tired of figuring it out. Maybe for once he'd just like it to be a little easier for him, which it's been a couple of times, like when Randy Moss came and Welker came in 07. But, you know, traditionally that hasn't been the case. It's been sort of like, well, Tom, you figure it out. Even Josh Gordon, who's tremendously talented, but came last year during the season and they plop his locker next to Brady and basically tell Brady, well, you know, you need to be emotionally invested in this guy so that we can get the most out of him. I think they just ask a lot of him. And I think, you know, to this point, it's an accumulation, I think, of everything, not just the wide receiver thing, but everything they've asked of him over 19 years, and he always does it. And I think he sort of looks at it and is like, well, how about one time it works for me? It's what's best for me. How about that, just for once?
Yeah, I can understand that, but they're winning, you know? This isn't like they're 1-2 like they were at this point last year. They obviously have one of the better defenses, well, statistically, the best defense in the league right now.
Yes.
So, again, this is one, well, I will typically, 9 times out of 10, support all things Brady, Tom over team. But in this case, it's like, dude, you're not in a bad spot. You got a really good defense. And if you got to win games 20-17, 24-10, and your stats aren't going to be as crazy as you might have liked, well, isn't winning the best thing of all? Like, I remember, you know, that 60 Minutes interview, and granted, you got to go back, you know, 14, 15 years, but when he was asked by Steve Kroft at 60 Minutes, what's your favorite championship? And he says, the next one. Well, isn't that it? Or is it more about your brand and TB12, and you want the ability to try to get as much money from the Patriots, or maybe another team can come in because you'll be a free agent for the first time ever. So you want to have MVP caliber numbers so you can put one of these teams over a barrel. Is it more about that? Because I, when he acts like this, I do feel it's more the latter than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's stat chasing, if that's what you're saying. I just think
he
realizes that it's going to be more difficult on offense now without Antonio Brown. And look, I was all for them. They never should have signed the guy, right? And I said that from the beginning, and it has nothing to do with the legal entanglement he ended up being involved in. Had nothing to do with it. It had to do with this, the fact that he's erratic and unreliable and ultimately just about himself, and that even while he was here, he was too self-centered, too self-indulgent, and ultimately too selfish to just let things cool down a little bit, and he still would have been on the team. But when I look at Brady, I think it's more a point of, you know, you guys say pouting. I would say it's a point of professional pride. I think he takes a great deal of pride in what he does. He wants it to be at a high level. He wants the offense to be at a high level. And he recognizes that maybe they don't have all the pieces to do that. And I would throw in there, too, like, you know, the situation in the offensive line. Now, obviously, that's related to injuries. But it's like, okay, Tom, you know, you're going to play behind essentially a rookie left tackle and Isaiah Wynn. Well, now Isaiah Wynn's, you know, hurt. So now your left tackle is a guy we picked off the street. How do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. And David Andrews got hurt, so you're going to go with Ted Karras, you know, who's a hard worker and who we all like, but that's an obvious downgrade. It's how many things you're going to ask this guy to compensate for and how many times you're going to create a greater degree of difficulty for him and ask him to just sort of suck it up and do it. And I think that would get to anybody who's been in the same place for 20 years.
Do you feel vindicated, though, about Antonio Brown that he just keeps tweeting? And now what's the latest beef? It's with Baker Mayfield. Is that it, McComb?
Yeah, he's going after Baker Mayfield now. Yep.
Which I actually kind of don't mind because, like, Baker Mayfield is maybe my least favorite player in the NFL.
But, well, who was it the last couple of days? It was
Eric Weddle.
Yeah.
When Weddle was just wishing him well and he just went after him. I mean, this guy, Antonio Brown just cannot stand. He can't stand to be in a situation where he's not the center of attention. Yeah. And it's somebody said to me with the team, you know, that with the Patriots, that Belichick believes that he can integrate anybody who cares more about football than money and fame. And I was like, well, I think that's Bill's first mistake, because this guy cares more about money and fame than he does football.
It's more clear than ever. Chris and Wister on Tom Brady's mindset and how he feels about Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with Antonio Brown is, and this is the one thing I don't get, is the fact that when he came to the Patriots, couldn't they have in any way, shape, or form put anything into his so-called contract that really limited or had to have his social media reviewed by some staff or someone instead of just going, you know, wild with it, because they knew what he was doing? And second, revisionist history, Tom Brady. When Bill Belichick threw him under the bus and said, ask Tom, do you think that's where the relationship really started to sour? And at that point, he realized, you know what? They don't care about me. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
I think that played a role. Yeah, I mean, that sort of Deflategate thing being dropped in his lap, you know, we still have, like, the we saw in the Wells report, right? Wasn't there, like, some email from Will McDonough who was his original you know, sort of...
it was essentially like, watch your back.
Pretty much. Like his original assistant, I guess you would say, right? I think when you look at that that was one where it was sort of... the way I would put it is, that's one where you're like, you think these people have your back, and you're like, ooh, maybe I can't trust them as much as I thought.
All right, your thoughts on how Tom Brady was acting this week, talking about Antonio Brown. Are you browned out too at this point? I wouldn't blame you, but I don't know. The guy continues to be in the news because he won't go away. Just a couple of days ago, oh no, I'm out of the NFL, not going to play anymore. I'm going to go back to school. And here he is again. He just can't help himself. He is as impulsive as the day is long. Antonio Brown still
he's a football Kardashian.
Tweeting away. He really is. He's just
look at me.
He is just he cannot help himself at all. And your thoughts on tomorrow's game. We're going to get a game in Buffalo against the Bills. 617-779-0985. I'll get to your calls coming up after the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McComb.
Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's as tough as they come. You know, he's a very, very tough guy. So he'll do everything he can to get ready to go. And it's certainly, when he's out there, it's a big boost for our offense. You know, he just does so many things for us, and he's so dependable, consistent. He's a great player. You know, when he's not out there, I mean, it's definitely noticeable for all of us. So hopefully he can make it. And if he can't, the other guy's got to fill in and do the best job they could do. So he's got to prepare for both.
So that's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady on banged up Julian Edelman. He's one of seven players listed as questionable for tomorrow's game in Buffalo. The 3-0 Patriots, the 3-0 Bills. Taste the hype. I don't know, it's been overhyped, but it's at least these teams, you know, they're unbeaten. That place will be nuts tomorrow. I think it's safe to say that all those All those liquored up sex freaks in the most sexual stadium in the NFL. So much just public sex happening all over the place.
You're saying there'll be a lot of prosthetics thrown on the field?
Yeah, who knows? That place will be absolutely wild tomorrow. So, but that being said, like, I don't know, the Patriots certainly feel like they're going into this thing, if not shorthanded, definitely banged up. Edelman leaves that game, the win over the Jets last Sunday, with... It looked bad initially. Like, I don't know. You ever crack a rib or hurt you? Like,
I've not cracked a rib, but I bruised a rib, and you feel like you're gonna die.
Yeah, you can't laugh, you can't fart, you want to do anything. Like, it all hurts all the time, and
you're kind of like Batman in this movie.
You go to the team, just are dying for me to do that impersonation.
you don't have to do it. I'm just saying.
We're watching on one of the TVs here. It's the one with Bane. Is that what the hell's that one called?
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. The one that is good for an hour and then all goes to hell. It just is an aside. Like, so now, as Bruce Wayne is trying to get out of the pit, you brought up a good point during the commercial break. Like, you're in the depths of hell, this prison in a pit, and you have cable reception somehow? So when Bane leaves him there, before he leaves and he pushes on his chest so that he feels the broken back, he says, you know, and you can watch Gotham burn. In the meantime, I've left you with DirecTV so you can watch Gotham burn. And you also get... the NFL Sunday Ticket. So you can watch all your favorite teams, except for the one that I blew up and killed about 20 minutes earlier in the movie. Enjoy. This movie just sucks.
Go ahead.
Back to Edelman, though. So yes. the ribs.
Yeah.
If they don't have them tomorrow,
yeah.
Do you give the Bills more of a chance?
I do, because if you look at the state of the Patriots' offense, I think if you take Edelman out of there, the way I look at their offense, I feel like Edelman's the engine, and Brady's the driver, right? Brady's driving the whole thing, but Edelman's the engine, really, of it. And so if he's out of there, it gets a lot more difficult. You know, there's a lot of relying on Josh Gordon, and now you're asking Philip Dorsett, and we saw a little bit of this last year in the first four games. If you take Dorsett and ask him to be a two instead of a three or a four, the matchups aren't as favorable, and that's an issue. It's the same thing that happened last year with Chris Hogan. So maybe we're back to that a little bit. I think they need Edelman in this game, even just as sort of a decoy. You know, even sure. If he's not 100%, just so he has to be accounted for. And I think it makes it easier for everybody when you go in that direction. So, and I think to go back to tie it all back to what we were talking about with Brady and whether he's a little pissy right now, I think the Edelman injury is part of it too. Like, I'm not sure you would get the same response or some of these responses that you guys are reading into this past week if Edelman were 100% healthy. I think he's looking at it saying, okay, now, you know, Antonio Brown's gone, Edelman's compromised, so what am I working with now? I get Josh Gordon, who's good, but, you know, doesn't run the full route tree for us. I love Philip Dorsett, but I remember last year when we asked him to step up to a different position, it didn't go so well. And then who's my third guy? Who? Crickets? Jacoby Myers? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it, too, this Edelman injury. That's the type of thing. And you've heard Tom talk, I think, this week, Jim, about Edelman and his importance in a way that the Patriots often don't talk about a single player, you know, a singular player, basically saying, well, this guy's really important. If we don't have him, it's going to be hard. You don't hear that a lot. It's a lot of next man up and all these other platitudes, whereas Brady's been pretty upfront about the fact that if Edelman can't go, you know, it gets a lot harder for everybody.
Frank, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Frank.
Hey, boys, what's going on? Look, first on Brady, I agree with the both of you. Jim, I think that Brady should shut up, work with the guys that are there. I don't have a problem with him not going to the OTA things if it's involuntary. It's fine. I think he's earned that right. But he still should work with these younger guys and get a better rapport with them. Chris, I agree with you. I think the team owes it to him to get him some better weapons. So I see both sides of it. I agree with both sides. But ultimately, I do want him to have the weapons he needs to send everybody to their destruction. Now, as far as the NFL goes, this news this week about 18 games, 17 games, look, you know, there are certain things that should be left alone. When a fat man is at a buffet eating ribs, leave him alone. If a Wolverine is high on angel dust and he's looking at a white rabbit covered in brown gravy, leave it alone. NFL, it's perfect the way it is. I don't have a problem with 16 games, the way that the playoff system is set up. I would like Thursday night football to go away completely. I'd rather just see it Sunday, Monday. But if it's here to stay, it's here to stay. Make the product better. I'm fine with it, I guess. But you don't need more games. These athletes, they go through enough. Leave it alone. It's perfect the way it is.
Thanks for the call, Frank. You got a quick thought on this? There was the a story in The Athletic this week that's saying the NFL owners collectively realized they can't do the 18-game regular season, so they want to try to go to 17 games. Do you still believe that, like, less is more with the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I think that they want to increase revenue, and I think 17 games is at least palatable, right? They're going to have to make some concessions to the players. My question is, do they just want to go to 17 games, or do they want to go to 17 games and the expanded playoffs, which I'm for. And I think the players, if you're giving them an opportunity to be in the playoffs, they'll suck it up for that one. I think they would be more engaged on that. So in a way, it's like you almost sort of backdoor into the 18-game season. If you have a 17-game season and expanded playoffs, then you really have, you know, an enhanced inventory to sell. And it won't just be to the traditional networks. It will be streaming companies into it, too. And that will make everybody a lot more money, which is what this is really about. I mean, it's all about money. I mean, that's the thing to me. If they have to, if push comes to shove and it's player safety versus revenue, despite what they say, they're going to choose revenue every time. You know it.
Yeah. Well, hogs get slaughtered. And look at all the injuries you've already seen to, you know, marquee players 3 weeks in. You want to add more games. The owners have the players over a barrel. They have us as viewers over a barrel. But I just wish they would stop tinkering with it. You don't need more. Less is more in that particular sport. But they're going to get their way because they always do. We'll continue to take your calls on Tom Brady and thoughts on tomorrow's game. But obviously, buzz for Patriots, Bills. Might be a little bit manufactured, especially nationally, even around here, because you have 2-3-0 teams. But what about in Buffalo? How do those liquored-up sex freaks in Western New York feel about this? How big is the buzz there for that game? We'll take you on the ground in Western New York next here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5.
You know, get ready to go up there. It's going to be a great environment, hostile environment, great atmosphere. Buffalo's got great fans. They always give us a warm reception, so sure we'll get another one this week. You know, hope we can go out there and play competitively on Sunday afternoon. So, got a lot to get ready for. Good team, well coached.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick on the reception that he and the Patriots will get at New Era Field. I hate that they call it that. In Buffalo tomorrow. It was Rich Stadium. I've always known it as Ralph Wilson Stadium, but I get it. You know, the corporate sponsors, they buy, so you got to call it what it's called now because they're paying for it. But it'll always be Ralph Wilson Stadium to me. But obviously, a lot of buzz for this nationally. It feels a little bit manufactured. Even us, we here locally, and especially on sports radio in town, we're trying to like play this up a little bit because you have 3-0. You haven't had since really since 2011. And the Patriots went in there. It's the last time they lost in Buffalo. That was the Ryan Fitzpatrick game.
I remember that. Did Brady throw four picks in that game?
Yeah, it was something terrible like that. But the Patriots, I still think, only lost by like three points or something like that. But it was a shootout type of game. I don't think we're going to get that tomorrow. But how is what's the buzz like in Buffalo? How are they feeling in Western New York, that barren hellhole? This is a report. And what tickets are going for at New Era Stadium, courtesy of News 4 Buffalo, in Western New York. Go ahead.
For the first time in 8 years, there's a special hype around the team right now. Even sports radio host Jim Rome agrees, tweeting, "The NFL is so much better when the Bills are undefeated. Really, the whole world is." Week 4, though, holds one of our toughest rivals, the Patriots.
Pause for a sec there, B-Rob. Tim McCone, you're a newsman, TV newsman, sports guy down in Providence. I haven't seen your reel or any of your reports down there. My apologies. But please tell me you don't have this kind of cadence, do you?
No, I don't.
Thank you.
I don't.
You talk like a normal human being.
Like a normal person. Yeah, that's the goal.
We haven't had this in 8 years.
That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Oh, just talk normal. You know what? Why do you always have to talk like this? Sports radio host Jim Rome even tweeting... It'd be great for the NFL. Go ahead, B-Rock.
Ticket prices have skyrocketed.
I never in my lifetime did I think I'd see it. You know, I'm not that old.
Brett Sim owns Southtown's Tickets, a third-party ticket selling site here in Western New York.
Okay.
He's shocked, telling me the cheapest ticket you can find for the upcoming Patriots game on his site is $160.
Ooh, please. Now, this is how you know that Buffalo and Western New York, they don't have a lot going for them. I just looked at perhaps the most popular of the third-party sellers. The cheapest ticket for the Giants game on a Thursday night, which is tough for a lot of people to go to, $199. And this girl's talking it up. The most expensive ticket, $169. still affordable for the median income here in Western New York of $17.5. Hey, the Buffalo game, the Browns game, rather, against the Patriots, Sunday, October 27th, cheapest ticket, $275. The Cowboys game, the cheapest is $339. So this is the most buzz, $160? Oh, God, imagine having to live there. Go ahead.
These two tickets will cost you about $380.
Ooh.
A half dozen of these donuts
what
is a difference
dollar
from last year when I was comparing the price of Paula's donuts to a $6 game ticket in December. Instead, this price is the highest Sim has seen for an Orchard Park game in 15 years.
If these tickets don't sell in the next 48 hours, you're going to start seeing sellers looking to move these tickets and starting to lower their prices, knowing there's about 4 days before the game.
Well, Sam also says 90 to 99% of the tickets are online. So please beware of any hard copy tickets you see getting sold. Now, the latest you can buy a ticket for the game is around 2:30 Sunday after kickoff. He warns if a price looks too good to be true, it probably is. In the studio, Kelsey Anderson, News 4.
This is Kelsey Anderson telling you, buyer beware. So for those of you maybe looking to take that trip tomorrow, big spending, going to cost you close to $360 for a pair of tickets. And if you don't have that kind of money, the Bills Mafia will certainly trade it for sexual favors. Of all the road trips I've done, so I do a road game every year with my buddy going on like 14 years or whatever it is.
That's pretty cool.
I haven't done Buffalo. I haven't. I want to. I'm intrigued.
Well, this is the time to do. I will say, you know, I've made that
go at this time of year.
Yeah, Western New York, September is beautiful. It's really nice. I mean, and there's some stuff to do there.
You can have wings and cry. I would do it at this time of year. It's just, I don't know. I always try to go to somewhere where I haven't been, or it's more known as a party town. So, like, the scene and Bill's Mafia and all that madness, I would like to see that up close.
Definitely.
But, cool. I don't know. You got to make it, for me, when I do these, I try to make it a 2 or 3 day adventure. So, what the hell do you do those other couple of days?
Go to Toronto.
You know, I've seen the falls, too. Like, so, hey,
yeah. No, you go to Toronto.
Go over the border to Toronto.
Remember Will Spaghetti? He said they should move the team to Toronto.
They should. They should, to make it more of a destination, because that's part of the fun of doing this. So this year, like, the road slate this year is not great.
No. Where are you guys going?
Philly. We're doing Philly because one of my buddies is like a big wig at Comcast, and he helped invent the remote you're talking to.
Yeah.
So he's got like real juice.
Nice.
So it's going to be the best setup ever. I think we're getting like on-field passes.
Oh, nice.
I can't wait.
At the link.
Yeah, but other than that, like, I don't know, the road slate's not that great. I know a lot of people just do this kind of this on a whim. They'll decide tomorrow morning, you know, it's screw it.
Yeah.
We'll do the 5-6 hour drive. We'll get there just in time. But obviously you can get in cheap, even though they're saying out in Buffalo, it's the most expensive ticket in 8 years. Please, again, good for you, McCone, knowing not to talk like this.
I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, not all of us have the Marconi money that you have, all right?
You think I got a bump from that?
Yeah, don't you guys have Marconi performance bonuses?
No. Let's go to Tim and Canton on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Tim.
Hola, boys.
Hola.
Hey, so I called about Brady. Before I get to that, you guys brought up a couple good points. The trip to Philly, who was doing that trip?
That's me.
That would be Big Jim Murray.
Jimbo, sounds like a blast. Would love to go with you. I volunteered to drive. I'll take the Suburban, me, you, Manette, Lacey. We'll bring your buddy. I would love to go on that trip with you. That's going to be insane. But the 17-game schedule is going to be so watered down by the time we get to, what, week 15? When people have already decided, it's already been decided who's in the playoffs. And now we're going to see practice squad guys, right? We're going to see James White comes out, and who goes in? I don't even know. What, Fuller? I don't even know where that guy is. And then Brady, I don't know who made the comment about Brady having to babysit all his new toys. Couldn't agree more. That's the reason he's going to vamoosevoo out of here next year. He's tired of babysitting when he begs them to give him a receiver. It now becomes his job. It's almost like punishment that he got what he wanted. So great point on that one. And the last thing about the Bills' affection for sexual products thrown on the field, I think that's going to be the highlight of the game.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope so. It's been that happened 3 years ago now, I feel like.
I think it's happened every... I was reading a
story. Oh, does it happen last year, too?
I think it's happened every year since 2016.
Well, that's part of the bit now, too. If you go, you got to try to get something like that onto the field.
Actually, The Athletic, Tim Graham, wrote a story on it. The genesis of it, the first person who did it, who is banned from the stadium in perpetuity. And, yeah, they did, like, a story. I didn't read
Oh, come on. They banned that person for life?
They did,
That's stupid.
Yeah.
It's not like... So, the laser pointer thing that happened with Brady in Kansas City last year, like, that's something, like, that person...
Serious. That's serious. Seriously.
That's a fan that should get banned for life. If you get into like a knockdown drag out fight, obviously you punch security, something like that, that should get you banned for life. You throw a fake hog onto the field, like, who cares? That's funny.
Well, I heard Buzz Bissinger is going to do a book on this person.
You had to be listening earlier. Again, Buzz, the documentary on HBO. If you read that book and you knew him like growing up as one of the button down stuffy Mitch Albom types, he ain't like that anymore. Watch that movie. You're like, whoa, wow, that's what he's into. All right, Leather Daddy. 617-779-0985. Again, I think that it's been a as dumb a week in sports as I can remember, from Brady whining about it, losing Antonio Brown. You knew what you got. But by the way, where's the apology there, McCone? I got mine from McCarthy.
He browbeat McCarthy.
Where's yours?
That did not go the way I expected. I was so hot and bothered for that move, and it blew up in my face.
I told you. You should have known what you were getting with Antonio Brown, that a-hole. You have some of the play calling in the Thursday night game by Green Bay, some of the play calling from Cleveland. Actually, I want to touch on some of this and some other league stuff with you, Chris, coming up here, because teams that I thought were going to be a little bit better than they were just have been a disaster, Cleveland being number one. So we'll touch on that.
No, you took the cheese on them?
I kind of did because they were so talented. I wasn't going to be that surprised if they finished 7-9, but this so far, it's been a disaster.
Oh, this is delicious. And, I want to taste Baker Mayfield's tears.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that. Kyrie Irving's press conference, the Red Sox clandestine press conference yesterday, all that coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines in this next hour on Gasper Murray.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.